Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Yo, what's up? Welcome to The Rick Thorne Show. My name is Rick Thorne. On this episode, I'm going to be talking to one badass guitar player, badass musician. I'm talking about Mr. Billy Gracchede, a.k.a. Billy Biohazard. I'm going to call him right now. Let's do this.
Rick.
Coming at ya. What up, homie? What are you doing?
Taking care of business. Good morning. How you doing?
I like that. Taking care of business is the way to get stuff done, bro. You know what I mean? I'm recording right now, so we're just jumping right in this.
Fuck yeah. How you feeling?
I feel great. I feel awesome, bro. I'm stoked that you're on the show, and I'm stoked to talk to you, bro. What's going on? What have you been up to?
Fucking taking care of business. Just I got a bunch of new shit happening. Working on two new records for 2020. New Billy Bio, which is my solo band, and new Power Flow. And I'm psyched about both. So a good juggle.
Dude, you're killing it, bro. I mean, listen, when you said, hey, Tony, I'm taking care of business, huh? I'm like, all right, he's from New York, he's from Brooklyn, what's going on? What's going on over there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just take care of business, huh? Just mind your own fucking business, dude, huh?
Take care of business is like it's a standard greeting of like, this is the hustle.
No, I know.
Shit, you know?
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time because I love New York. I love everything about it. Every time I go there. Yeah, it's the best, bro. How was it? So you're from Brooklyn, dude. Like, how was it? How was the music scene back when you first got into? What would you call? Okay, like to talk about Biohazard. What would you call Biohazard? What would you classify this style of music? I hate asking that, but what would it be?
You know, I was just talking about that last night. I'm producing a new record from a band called Count Time. They've been around LA hardcore scene for a long time, and they were. Junior, the singer, was telling me, a couple of guys are big Biohazard fans, and he was telling me how when he was young and our shit started popping off in New York and Headbangers Ball started playing, and that was the first time a lot of the L.A. West Coast kids, heard our music. And he said what we did was, he said a lot of the things that you would expect to happen in a song. Oh yeah, this is cool. It's gonna kick off this fast punk beat or this metal beat. We would always do the opposite, and it caught people on their heels because he said a lot of the kids that he was skating with. He was a little kid, like a young teenager, and they were all like, they didn't know what to think of it. He said it was like, what is this? It's not punk. It's not metal. Is it hip hop? What the fuck is this? He goes, and it's such an odd mixture of things. Eventually, he said, it grew on me, but at first, we didn't know what to think of it. And so in the conversation, I remembered early days playing with bands that I was friends with and grew up with and admired a lot, like AF, Sick of It All, and then also getting a chance to play with bands like Exodus and Suicidal and Overkill. What the difference was, though, Rick, was like Biohazard, when we played with the hardcore bands who were our friends and we loved, we were too metal. We weren't hardcore enough. But then when we played with metal bands who we also admired and looked up to, we were too hardcore and not metal enough. And so we were kind of like the redhead stepchild, you know what I mean? Like we didn't fit in anywhere. Like there was never a seat at the table Thanksgiving tours, and we had to do our own thing. And I think what happened was people who weren't into a little bit of everything, but it wasn't cool to be, if you liked hardcore, you had to, that's it. It was hardcore only. If you liked metal, it was metal. But it was very people that challenged the scene in the sense of like they would wear a Run DMC shirt to a hardcore show.
Right.
So we kind of, I think what we brought to the table was like this flag of who gives a fuck. This is what we like, and this is what we do. If you're down with it, cool. And I think we were ousted for a little bit, and then people started feeling what we were doing and kind of created our own style in a small way. That I still love to this day.
Yeah, I love it too to this day, dude. I remember when your first record first came out with Biohazard, and we were like, dude, what is this? This is like, but we loved it, you know what I mean? Because it was different, but it was also good, you know what I mean? And that was back when, you're absolutely right, like, dudes were very, like, one-dimensional. Like, I'm only into hardcore, I'm only into metal, I'm only into hip-hop or rap, or I'm only into this, or I'm only into that. And you guys really crossed it and brought a lot of different styles and cultures of music together, I think. I really do. I think you really helped open a lot of the eyes to people to be like, yo, you could like all kinds of stuff and put it together, and it sounds good, you know?
It was an unintentional happy accident for us, you know? We just kind of just went with it. We didn't think about it, and that's always been my approach with music since then. It's just like, whatever comes out, comes out. If it sounds like Power Flow, it's Power Flow. If it sounds like Biohazard, it's Biohazard. If it sounds like Billy Bio, it's Billy Bio.
Right.
And you know, that's pretty much what I got on my plate.
Well, yeah, and when you said it happened like an unexpected happy accident, that's exactly what my mom had told me when I was born, bro.
But the key word is, you can focus on the negative, or I look at the positive side, and she said it was a happy result, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, Zach, it's a happy ending for Dad. I get it. It's all good. It's all love, bro. Yeah, you like to keep it positive, bro. That's what I like. You got a good positive energy. Was it? Have you always been like that? Is that your personality?
No.
No?
100% no. Bro, I've had so much fucking anger. It's still there. I know. I'm not one to cry about my past.
Right.
Because we've all been through shit, and everybody has their thing. But I carried a lot of resentment around from my childhood, and my mom died when I was a kid, when I was young.
Oh,
and
man.
All these things, you know, with religion and being a Catholic Italian, raised Catholic Italian, it just, a lot of things that just fucking harbored on me, and a lot of questions, just normal shit. We all, you kind of get to a point where there's so many questions and very few answers from people. You kind of have to figure it out for yourself.
Right.
And when you do that, you kind of, that's when I think you start thriving in life. But to get there is challenging. So it wasn't for a long, I carried around a lot of fucking anger. And there's a couple of new songs I deal with on Billy Bio that deal with that that anger. And in today's society too, and not to be a fucking, you know, on a soapbox preaching, but it tears you down. Like, when you have a little seed of resentment or anger or anything that you're holding on to from the past, and then you're constantly bombarded with bullshit news and media from the both sides, the left and the right, it tears you apart.
Yeah, you know what I did with that, bro? Sorry to interrupt you. I got rid of my cable, bro, and I suggest that to anybody that just watches the news, because it gives you, I tested my anxiety level, bro, like, because all I was watching was the news, all I was consumed was the news, and then I was like, what am I doing, like, why am I feeding my brain with all of this, and the second I got rid of it, all of that went away, bro, for me at least. I'm just like, yo, I'm done with it, I don't need to sit around and watch this stuff, you know, you keep planting seeds of fear in me, and anxiety, and blah, 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 and blah, blah. Y'all trying to just sell commercials and shit. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm over it. So I got rid of it, bro. Anyways, I had to put that in there because that adds to the anxiety and adds to the anger. But as you were saying, yeah, you got, finish what you were saying.
You just hit it. You know what I mean? It's funny you said that, because when September 11th happened, and we were home, we just released a record that came out September 11th. We were leaving for tour with Slayer and Pantera, and then the whole shit hit the fan. And at the time, I don't know if you know a dude named Paul Booth, but he's an old buddy of mine, a tattoo artist. And
no, I don't know him. I might know him, but
he was Paul Booth tattoo. He did everybody from Slayer to Pantera. He's a phenomenal artist. Google him, Paul Booth. Anyways, Paul, I was at dinner at his house one night, and he was telling me about this. He was doing the social media, he called the social media experiment before there was social media, but, and he, same thing, he got rid of what you just said. He got rid of his TV, stopped, he just boycotted the propaganda out there, the media. So I did that. Turned off the cable.
Awesome.
Had a TV, but never even hooked up the ears to get it on the channel. And then, it changed a lot. September 11th happened, bro, and my roommate woke me up, and she said, a plane hit the building in the World Trade Center. Right. We had played a show the night before, and we were leaving for tour. That record came out that day. We were leaving for tour the next day. And it happened before when I was young. I think, I don't know if it was when I was young, maybe my parents or something, but there was a small plane that hit the Empire State Building. And I thought it was something like that. And I'm like, oh, it's probably some fucking idiot pilot. He got caught in the wind or something. She said, no, I think it's a big deal. She came back in like 2 minutes later, and I'm getting up. And she's like, this is a big deal. So we went across the street in the bar, watched the day unfold. As we all know how horrible that was.
Right.
But there's a new song on the Billy Bio record that's fucking killer. And it deals with that. It talks about the whole way the media just constantly fucking brings you down, and it's fucking rough. You know, you have to be able to move away and just, the first thing, it's like being a drug addict or an alcoholic. The first thing you gotta do is you gotta admit they have a problem. And very few people, especially these days, can admit they have an addiction, and the addiction is social media. Anyways, the song is called Sick and Tired. It's about carrying around all this anger and hatred, and it's usually misdirected. And when you can face it, like you can stand up and face an addiction problem, it's a lot easier. The first step is you got to say, I got a problem. And if it's being addicted to social media, that's 99% of the Generation Z has, you know what I mean? That's a lot easier to sort through your shit.
Maybe it just comes with age. It's like, you know, I'm 50, bro. And so like you get older, you just like start to see through some bullshit, and you're like, I ain't falling for this shit anymore. You know what I mean? It's just, I always trip out on that. It's like, oh, you saw it on TV. Oh, it must be real. Yeah, yeah, TV don't lie. Come on now.
It's on the internet. It's true. I posted something. Somebody sent me a thing a couple weeks ago. It was like a net worth thing. And they're like, wow, dude, you're fucking really killing it. And it said my net worth is like, I don't remember, like $17 million.
I saw that. I saw you post that. Didn't you post that?
Yeah, I thought it was the funniest thing. So I searched again, and then it's true. The statement's false. But if you search your name, do you, bro? I'm going to do you right now.
I think I'm worth $3 million. When I got hurt, some dude's like, hey, why are you starting to GoFundMe when you're worth $3 million? I was like, bitch, where is it? Oh, wait, my ex-wife took it.
$3 million.
Is that what it says? I'm only worth $3 million? Fuck this shit.
That's pretty awesome, bro. It's probably close to the truth. Mine is $17 million. I'm like, 17. If it said 17 grand, I'd be looking for cashing in. I'd be like, whoa.
Exactly.
I could use 17 grand. So I posted it, and I said that. It's true. It's on the internet. And that was the whole point of what you were talking about.
I'm just saying, I agree with you on all that, and like with you know, the brainwashing and the anxiety of what all of that gives you, and you're just like, dude, you just gotta. But I think that comes with our age too. You know what I mean? Like, think about being young kids. You know, they're probably very like just consumed by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that I've been one. I've always been an independent, and there's like a lot of people say. The minute you start taking a side, you alienate half of your family, or half of your friends, half of your audience, or whatever you want to say.
Wow.
But
yep.
to me, it's like it's propaganda, and the successful empire, attempted empire that really fucking manipulated society was the fucking Nazis.
Right.
And you see the propaganda on both sides. And what it does, and I've heard all the arguments. I've heard people say, yeah, but it's so fucked up that this is happening, or our president's doing this, or it's so fucked up that this side is doing this against the president because the economy is the best it's ever been. But the whole thing is, no matter how you look at it, you have to look at it, what's the fucking return on investment? Like what's the cost? Maybe the economy is doing fucking great, but the cost is you can't even have a conversation. You know, and people, it's
right.
we're so split down the middle as a country, and we were just talking about September 11th. September 11th, and I remember reading this. It was Reagan who said it, and say what you want to say about Reagan, but he said if an alien force invaded the Earth, we would be one human race so quickly. September 11th did that. And I remember it was like suddenly you felt there wasn't the same vibe on the streets of New York. New York was never had the tension. A few summers it did with some issues, but most of the time your brethren is your neighbor. It's your fellow New Yorker. Southern California has a little different vibe. It's more segregated. But after September 11th, everybody, no matter where you lived, what culture you're from, what country you're from, everybody united under that flag of we're one people and we're being attacked by an ideology that wants to destroy us.
Right.
And that's not enough, you know what I mean? So the thing is, that especially in America, and look at the shit that's going on in Europe, the UK last week, it's fucking crazy how separated. It's like and we know this. We were talking about before. You get a little older and you start seeing the bigger picture. The more you separate situations and people, the easier it is to fucking pull shit over. You know what I mean? So no matter who my friends are, what walk of life they come from, the more successful friends that I have, it's a common theme. They don't bother themselves with bullshit. They're not, they don't talk about other people. They don't give a fuck about, you know, gossip and rumors and all that shit because you're busy. You're busy hustling your fucking path, grinding your stone, and sharpening your sword with whatever it is that you do, whether you're a BMX rider or, you know, playing guitar in a band or a producer in a studio or a fucking, you know, garbage man, which I did in New York when I was a kid.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Dude, and it's hardcore there because they don't have, like out here we're spoiled, they got machines that pick up the cans. There, you got to pick that shit up yourself, right?
Yeah, it was private sanitation. It's a long story, but yeah. My point is that you, you fucking, you know, you do what you do, and the people who have more time on their hands, it's like, you know, what's that saying? It's a devil's workshop. It's a religious saying. Idle hands of the devil's workshop. Is that the saying, I think?
Oh, something like that. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Basically, like, if you got a lot of free time, you're just going to, you know, fuck around and just, you know, just do stupid shit, not do anything productive. But if you're busy, you sleep better at night.
Yeah.
And you're less concerned about what other people are doing.
Exactly.
And you respect other people, too, more, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely do, and you feel better about yourself. And I have kids, so I tell them that all the time. Yeah, man, I'm with you. There's also a saying called what is it? When the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yep.
Yeah, that happened to me 3 times.
Only 3?
Yeah, 3 divorces, man. I'm done. I think I clocked out. I'm good, bro.
Oh, divorces. Holy shit.
That's what I mean by that. When you know, I'm just trying to be funny, man. It's all good. Yeah, I went through that. But it's, you know, hey, life. You keep learning, and that's what it's about. I wanted to talk about your you said you had anger, and I relate with that because I grew up with a lot of anger. And I used it in a positive way with writing. How did you deal with yours? Like, did you, like, find, like your anger that you had? Obviously, it seems like you've used it to your benefit, you know, because you can use anger in a positive way.
Dude, 100%.
Was it you just started playing guitar, or were you like into sports, or was it, how did all that come about to vent that so you didn't go down like that bad road, you know what I mean?
I did go down the bad road.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But what saved me was the, unintentionally, I realized the more I talk about the shit that I have inside of me, the better I see it. It's like working your problems out. You can spend a lot of money, talking to a therapist, but there's nothing like going to a fucking hardcore show and jumping into a pit or metal show or whatever. These days, you can go to a hip hop show and there's a pit.
Right.
But when you get all that fucking pressure that's been building up outside of you, and you let it go, that is the biggest awesome release for anybody. And
it is.
I think that's why. And I've heard friends say, "Oh, it's so fucked up. Why is trap rap? Why are they having pits? Why is homeboy stage off stage?" Because those dudes, they felt the same thing that we felt when it was just in the punk rock hardcore scene, and there was a pit. That's what it is. The same thing that we were trying to do, it crossed over to other genres of music. But what they love about it is the same thing what we fell in love with it over, you know what I mean?
Right.
So to deal with the anger, that was one thing. And then with music, writing about this shit, it's kind of like I remember so many times, it's constantly, every time I'm on tour, I get it, you know, one or two a day, people coming up and saying, "Thank you for this song. I know, I thought I was the only one going through this issue or that issue. And, you know, I realized reading your lyrics that you went through the same thing, or I wasn't alone." That, it wasn't so much that other people related to what I was saying. It was more so the fact that by talking about it, it's no longer a secret. And if you could share it with the world, that you have to deal with it. You're forced to think about it. Every time you play the song, you think about the shit. And even so, there's always like a silver lining and negative issues, but kind of turning them around into something positive. And that has been a big help for me with my anger issues and all that shit that I carried around for years. The other thing is jujitsu. That helped me also deal with it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I know that you're like jujitsu master, bro. You're like, I just think you are because I see your post and I'm like, damn, dude, he's pretty badass at jiu-jitsu. How long have you been doing that?
Since 94.
Oh, you're a fucking Jedi at this point, bro.
It's quite a long time.
Dang, 94? Really? Dang, dude, that's sick. So you get the same out of that, right? That same, like, venting in a positive way to let that anger... To deal with that, right?
I look at it like this. The more you can... It's 25 years I've been doing it. Holy shit.
Dang, and you were doing it before it was like, oh my God, I do jiu-jitsu. Because I think a lot of people put into it. I mean, not to be an ass, sound like an asshole. But, you know.
Nobody knew about it. Even Sepultura. You know Sepultura, guys.
Of course.
Those guys, they're from Brazil. And I remember we were learning, and we had this kid we met... it's a boring story if you're not into jiu-jitsu, but I'll just speed it, get to the chase. But we went on tour with Sepultura. I couldn't wait to mention jiu-jitsu to them and say, "Hey, you guys are from Brazil. Tell me about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Gracie jiu-jitsu, the family." And they're like, "Who? They never even heard of them." And we're like, "You're from Brazil. It's the national sport. You never heard of jiu-jitsu? You know the Gracies."
That's crazy.
After that, they got into jiu-jitsu. They had Hoist Gracie in a video after that. And I remember watching the video. Part of me, because we were brothers with them, part of me was like, "Wow, this is amazing." And the other part was super fucking jealous because we were jiu-jitsu guys. They didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
But the fact that they were Brazilian, they became friends with the Gracies.
Right.
And eventually started training. But I remember being half jealous and half super happy for them, you know. So, case in point. We were talking about like how things change. All those things, like the hating aspect of people, it dissipates. When you grow as a person, the goodness starts to prevail, and all the negative shit kind of just, you know, you kind of deal with it, chip away at it. You can't get rid of it overnight, but you chip away at it, and eventually it becomes a little tiny pebble. Maybe it comes up here and there, but with jiu-jitsu for me, what my philosophy has always been, I put myself in the worst possible position, and if I can handle that and deal with that, I become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that transcends into all these other areas in my life. And it's like, you know, whether it's, you know, having an argument with my wife or the disagreement, just I don't have to win I don't have to win my point. I don't have to make sure that I win by yelling louder and give her, you know, just arguing and discussing and debating it back and forth.
Right.
Because then it becomes toxic with the relationship. So it's okay. No big deal. Oh, look, you got a better position on the chessboard, or you got a better position. You got the position that you wanted in jiu-jitsu, or you, I apologize for not taking the garbage out in the morning. I'll do it now.
Is that more like a competitive thing that you might have, or is that more like the anger thing, or both?
Two things. Both of those work against that.
Right.
And so that's my point. Is like jiu-jitsu helped me, instead of having to win, because I'm very competitive. Winning isn't like not losing is winning. That's a better way of looking at it.
Got it.
So if I end up having to get up off the couch from watching my favorite New York Jets play another losing game, and do the garbage, I miss the play, but my wife walks away smiling, saying thank you, and it's cool.
Got it. Got it.
So that's winning. Whereas my old self would have been like, what are you kidding me? I just got home from the studio. I just got home from tour. I want to watch the Jets play. You know what I mean? And then it turns into this big snowball thing, and I end up sleeping on the couch. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
So yeah. You win, but you lose.
That's why I need to do that with my kids, bro. You know?
And there's a cool podcast, and I think I'll introduce you to the guys. There's a podcast I'm doing next week. It's called Two Dumb Dads and a Smart Dude. And it's three guys.
What is that?
It's a new podcast. It's these guys. It's all about parenting. It's you know, two like hardcore kids, they're single fathers and a married child psychologist, and they talk about parenting. They tell funny stories. Pretty cool. I'll introduce you to the guys. It'd be a great a collab going back and forth because they're funny.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever done a podcast on another podcast?
You mean have I recorded a podcast while I'm doing a podcast?
Yeah, no. I mean like you do your podcast at someone else's podcast, and you both broadcast. You both benefit from the time.
Oh yeah, all the time. Like you know, I mean, I interview people that have podcasts, and they interview me, and I go on their shows, or they go on mine, type of thing. So it's all good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like actually, do your podcast of you being on someone else's podcast.
Oh, that would be cool. Oh, that would be be way cool. Yeah, yeah. No, I've never done that, but that's a great idea. Yeah, that's awesome. I relate to you though, man, about the anger. I kind of had the same thing with bikes, and then I realized that like, okay, you know, like this makes me feel better about myself. Even to this day, like I get like these kind of like little anxiety, like I need to go ride and shoot a photo, and I need to and then once I do, I'm like, hey man, what's up, dude? You know, I'm all like, hey, yeah, cool. I'm all happy, you know. It's just therapy. Did you identify with that with music early on when you're like, I mean, because, you know, when you're younger, you do things, but you don't know why you're doing them. So you're like, you're doing it because it feels good, but you don't know like, oh, I have anger issues, so I'm going to do this to help me with it. You don't know that at the time, right? At least I didn't.
No, you don't.
When you started playing guitar, was that like something that led you to like, or did it just happen? Or were you always a musician?
I started playing piano when I was six, and my mother, when she was living, really pushed me to play, and she would sit at the piano bench with me and sing songs. And right. That was the most fucking beautiful, amazing memory of my childhood. When I started playing more and more on my own, I remember my brothers, we're all like Irish twins, we're like 11 months apart. And I remember they would make fun of this face I had because... Now I look back at the time, I was like, I had no idea. They would like bust my balls and, you know, and make fun of this face, because what was happening was I was losing myself in the moment. And I didn't realize that at the time. And that kept with me through, I remember I joined my first punk rock band. I love this band, and the kids, the guitar player quit, and I told the guys in the band, I'll learn how to play guitar if I can be in your band. And they said, okay. That was it. So, and every time that I sit with an instrument, it's like it's losing. I'm sure you feel the same way on a bike. You just kind of, you figure out about all the bullshit. You're just in the moment doing your thing. And that is, everybody has that. And when you can line that up with a way of doing that, you know, whether it's just as a hobby or for a job, it makes everything disappear. All the bullshit.
Yeah, it does. It does 100%. And that's, I always say that in my posts, is like, I like to just go out ride on the street with my headphones. I'm just like, feel alive, you know? So, do you get that way with jiu-jitsu too? Jiu-jitsu make you feel that way?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. I go there. That's, jiu-jitsu is my grounding thing. It helps, you know, you have no idea. Sometimes I tap, I'm right, you know, I'm at a point with jiu-jitsu where it's not like, I don't have to try anymore. I don't care anymore. I'm not trying to beat anybody. I work on my things that I want to work on. But the coolest thing is you're so caught up in the moment, and all of a sudden you're, you know, whatever was the conversation you had before you walked into the academy, you forgot about. And you leave, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I was talking to my guitar player about something. He had some beef with something over a tour or a song, and then all that anxiety, not anxiety, but all the negativity of the conversation is gone, and you're left with just the facts, and right. Then you deal with it.
Yeah, you deal with it. That's I always think New Yorkers like that. Just deal with it, Tony, huh? How do you say your last name?
Grazie Day.
Say it again?
Grazie Day.
Grazie Day?
Yep. It means thanks to God.
Grazie Day. Grazie Day.
No, Grazia Day.
Grazia Day. Grazia Day?
Perfect. Yeah.
Grazia Day?
And, I don't know if you, yep. You know Jose Nanga, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Jose, he fucks me all the time. The only way he can remember it, he has to imitate an Italian dude spinning pizza. He goes, Grazia Day!
Grazia Day, like, yeah. Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Tony, huh? Grazie Day, huh? He's right over there, this fucking guy, huh? I fucking
love
it.
And the funny thing is, in Brooklyn, it's Graziati. People, hey, Graziati. And I'm like, no, Grazie Day. It's Graziati. No, Grazie Day.
Grazie Day. Grazie Day. Yep. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Hey, are you related to Bella Thorne?
No. It's funny. People have asked me that before. I'm like, no, I'm not. I wish I was. I'd be like, yo, Bella, like, you know, hey, what's up? Hook it up. Hook up your brother.
Or the other way around, it's better you're not, so you can wake up with it.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Hey, let's talk about your solo, Billy Bio, bro. The solo record. You're stoked, bro. You know, right?
Yep. I'm dropping a new video in a couple of days, a little Christmas thank you for all the support. And then hitting the road with Gorilla Biscuits, Agnostic Front, H2O, Street Dogs, Wisdom and Chains in January.
Whoa, that's a sick lineup, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's all the homies, too, right?
Yeah.
Toby and Siv.
Pretty weird. Yep. Great dudes.
Wow, dude. So. Oh man, I'm happy for you, dude. That sounds like a rad show. Hopefully, I can make it to one of the shows. You put a lot of time and energy into this, right? This is your first solo record, solo album.
Yeah, the record dropped last year, right at the end of last year, and then I was on tour with Life of Agony, and we did Life of Agony, and then I did Agnostic Front, some Madball dates, and it's been straight. Going straight. It's not like work though, bro. It's just what I do, who I am. It's so easy for me.
Right.
But I'm not going to bullshit you. It's like every time you do a new project, I did it with Powerflow and I'm doing it now with Billy Bio. It's the same shit. It's like reliving the beginning days of Biohazard. You start out in a van, you sleep on people's floors, you don't make any money, you keep investing money because you believe in what you're doing, and when the tours don't make money, you got to pay everybody out of your pocket and hustle it and make it work. But if you believe in something, truly believe in it, you'll win. You just got to keep sticking with it.
Yeah, that sounds like my band, dude.
I know. We were going to do something once. Remember? We talked about doing something?
Yeah, we still should, man. I mean, that's me 100%. Like, that's a whole other story, bro. I'll tell you that a different time. But it's all good, man, because when you love something, you keep doing it. You got a vision. You keep doing it. You don't stop. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that you did a solo record and you kept playing music because, you know, sometimes when people break up, like, you know, Biohazard had reached a level where it was right there teetering and going to the next level, right? And, like, you guys, you know, could have, and sometimes people get miserable or upset or get addicted to shit and they don't, and it's cool that you kept the positivity, you know, through jiu-jitsu and music and shit, and you're like, and now you get, you know, with your solo record, like, what's been the response? Like, people hyped?
Yeah, dude, I don't know, I love it. To me, I've always been like, just make what you love, make sure you're doing what you want to do, and fuck the critics.
Right.
But it's nice when people come back to you and say, yo, it's fucking killer record, this song, or whatever. And so I'm really digging it. I love what I do, and now I'm on record number two, so.
Awesome. And you probably got a lot of fans that come to the shows too through your other bands. Like you're with Powerflow with Sendog too, right?
Yep, we're doing a new record now.
So you're just like you're doing a new record too with that? Dang, you're busy, man. That's cool. Yeah, because I saw you guys play at Viper, last year or something. It was sick, rad show. Anyone out there, definitely go see Powerflow or Billy Bio for sure. But what were you gonna say, man? Sorry, I cut you off.
What's a band? Black. Good Guys in Black?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that was good stuff, dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know, it's
I'm gonna send me a track.
Yeah, it's the challenges with, I mean, you know, I just want to say this, like the challenges with being a pro bike rider at the level that I'm at, and that when I started a band, you know, X Games and all this stuff, and you know, it's very difficult being an athlete trying to become a musician. I would have came out the gate being a musician. I think things would move a little bit differently. But it's okay because I get it, you know. And it's like I'm always that I'm gonna prove you wrong guy, anyways. I'm like, okay, really? All right, fuck that. Come to my show. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like I'm just doing this because, like, oh well, my BMX career is slipping. Maybe I'll start a band and then I'll. No, man. Everything I do is because it's a challenge and something that it's been a dream of mine. You know what I mean? And so. So you're on your second solo record. Do you have any support? You're doing this all DIY yourself? Like, I mean, is this all out of pocket?
I here's a fucking ringer for you. I had a record label. I'm on a label called AFM Records. It's under the umbrella of this company called Believe. It's Nuclear Blast, AFM Records. It's one of Europe's like biggest independent record labels. It's kind of like they're like the new what Roadrunner was back in, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
So, but before I got there, I remember I was on full speed ahead with Powerflow. We were in the middle of a tour. We did some dates with Life of Agony, and I've been friends with those things for years. And Joey, they knew I had I was working on a solo record, but I just had a bunch of songs, and it's something I always wanted to do, but never had the time to do it. And we get back to that tour, we left Agony, and Joey calls me up, and he's like, listen, we want to, we want to take you to Europe in the fall. Can you, you know, you think you have your record together by then? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll make it happen. So I came home from tour and just finished the record, you know, looked for a record deal and met these dudes who, they loved the record and they wanted to sign me, and they had a deal through Sony Records, and I was going to be their first release. So what they did was they promised me the world, but I've been in the business since I was a little kid, so I've seen all the bullshit. And they ended up, I caught them red-handed. They told Sony that they already signed me to the label, and I was going to be their first release, and they told me that they already had a deal with Sony, and I was going to be the first release. So they made themselves, they blew themselves up to be something they're not. Caught them red-handed. And I told the dude, I'm like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? I remember being on the phone with the guy, and he tells me, hey, what's taking so long with the contract? And I'm like, because I got people looking at it. I said, I got like 3 different people I work with, and they're all checking it out. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like lawyers? I said, I got one lawyer and two buddies who have been in the business by my side for years. He goes, what do you need a lawyer for, dude? You need, you could just, you know the position enough, you could just check it out yourself. I said, what you said to me?
Wow.
Come on, you know what I mean. I'm like, you just told me I don't need a lawyer? Are you fucking kidding me, bro? I couldn't believe that you said that. And then, of course, you know, that, so that deal, I threw that into the waste can, and then found, ended up hooking up with AFM, who I was super stoked about with. And it's like being on, like, probably the most successful label of my career and best experience was with Roadrunner. And AFM is like that to me. It's just a bunch of people who love the music. The understand was the business side, which I do, and I become more successful when you understand that. So that's my home, AFM Records.
That's cool. Yeah, you don't need a lawyer, bro. Yeah, right. He's just basically telling you, like, we're going to rip your ass off. Just throw it. Yeah. Yeah, there's a red flag. That's cool.
You don't need a lawyer.
It's still a grind, though, man. I mean, I think that you're like, you know, you got to still stay on your grind, 100%. You know, you're talking about sleeping on floors and all that. I get all that stuff. Is that?
Yeah.
Are you, sometimes when people reach a level of success, it's hard for them to go back and go, oh, I got to do this again. Was that hard for you?
No.
No?
And I think, yeah, it's funny you say that because I remember when you were working on Powerflow, I was talking to a couple of people. I've been present in the industry for years, and one of the that was a thing that kept coming up when I talked to people. But it was like, you know, it's just something that you guys are going to keep doing because, you know, these kind of records you guys have been through before. You get a lot more comfort, you know, when you're on tour with Biohazard or Cypress Hill, and after spending 6 months in a band, these things usually turn out, people kind of just get sick of it.
Right.
So I think the idea with that Powerful was going to be a one-off. But here we are on our second record, and it's not. So it's just my you know, either you're made to do certain things, or you're not. And you and I have been good survivors. We find ways to make it work, continue doing what we like to do. There's ups and downs, but we're cut out to do these things, you know. I'll never stop touring in our bands and have been friends for, you know, over 20 years. And it's kind of just what we do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And it goes back to, like, if you love something and you know that feeling and that reward, and it helps you deal with all the other stuff in your life, you're like, all right, this is way worth it. Yeah, and then just a couple more questions, man. How did it come about with Sendog, with Powerflow? You guys old buddies, or?
Yeah, we've been friends since 20 years ago, or whatever. And over the years, we worked on a bunch of different tracks together. We did some Biohazard work, did stuff on Judgment Night. A bunch of songs that I wrote and produced for the bands. So we've been pretty tight. Him and Roy from Dice came to the studio one day. And they played me some songs, and they asked me if I wanted to get down with it. At the time, I was, you know, still doing Biohazard. And I told them, you know, I said I was down to work with them, write for them, and produce them. But to leave my, you know, we just had a baby, and I said to leave my family, you know, to start a new band, it's financially rough. I said, but let's just work on some music together and see what happens. So I wrote a bunch of songs, and we put it together. We were in the studio, and it was more and more fun. Sen would come into the studio on Sunday night after football, bring a bunch of beers, and, you know, his boys would roll up, and we just all hang out and work on songs. And there was no pressure, there was no stress, there was nobody saying, finish, you got to deliver the record by February 2nd.
Right.
And we put together the first record. It took a while, but when we were working on the final record, we were working with Jay Baumgartner at NRG Studios. And my drummer at the time, Kid Fernando, this badass drummer from Brazil, he looked at me and he's like, in Portuguese, he said, "What do you think? Look at this. We all get along. It's a fucking great time with, you know, with everybody. Let's make this a band." And I'm like, I'm looking around, everybody, we're all laughing, having a good time. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do this. And we didn't have a name. So we finished the record without a name. And then we just hustled it and made it work. And that's pretty much how it happened.
Or yeah, it sounds like it happened very organically, which is fucking probably the best way anything can ever happen. And you produce you produce a lot of music as well, right?
Yep, a lot.
So you're just like producing bands, writing music, like nonstop. I love it.
That's all I do.
I love it.
Family, music, and jujitsu. My which day in jujitsu, and then the other hours are dedicated to studio and at home with the family.
Yeah, dude, you're rad, bro. I'm stoked that I had a chance to get you on the show. I like to promote everybody's Instagram, social media, and places where people could get your music. Do you want to drop all that stuff right now?
Yep. Everything is Billy Biohazard. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. That has links to everything I do. Just check it out and hit me up personally. I get back to everybody personally. There's not some intern at a management office that answers my messages to me.
So you're very approachable, which is even radder, man, which makes it even cooler. Yeah, man, everybody out there, check out, you know, Billy Bio, Powerflow, anything that you're doing. You're awesome, dude. I can't wait to link up with you, hang out and come see you guys jam. All right, dude, well, have a good day, man, and stay rad, man. I appreciate everything, bro.
You too, bro. Thank you, man.
Thanks. Peace.